This recording accompanies the Language B Higher Level Examination, Paper 2, Listening Comprehension, for English, May 2022.
Cet enregistrement accompagne l'examen de Langue B, Niveau Supérieur, Épreuve 2, Compréhension Orale d'Anglais, May 2022.
Esta grabación acompaña el examen de lengua B, nivel superior, prueba 2, comprensión auditiva D, inglés, mayo 2022.
The start and end of each audio text will be indicated by this sound.
Le début et la fin de chaque texte audio seront indiqués par ce son.
El inicio y el final de cada texto de audio se indicarán con este sonido.
The end of the examination will be indicated by this sound.
La fin de l'examen sera indiquée par ce son.
El final del examen se indicará con este sonido.
Text A. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a conversation between a couple, John and Mel, about their migration plans. Hey, Mel, I'm back.
Oh, John, you're here. So, any news about our relocation?
Yes. I've talked to my boss today, and basically, we have three options. Mexico City, Sydney, or Montreal.
Oh, my gosh. That's exciting.
And I've done a bit of maths. The package for Mexico City is really good. My salary would go up by 3%, with a yearly bonus of $3,000.
Wow, that's more than good. I do like Mexican culture a lot. And my sister said Mexico City is such a historical place. I've always wanted to go. I just hope language won't be a problem, though. I haven't used Spanish since university, and it's a little rusty now.
That's the other thing. The company would give us a free Spanish course for half a year, so I wouldn't worry about it. But the housing.
Why? Is it awful?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's a lovely house with utilities paid for, but it's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, that's fine. We haven't really lived in the country. It'll be a nice change. We can always drive to town.
I'm really not sure. And what about Sydney? When we were there last winter, it was amazing, wasn't it?
And language won't be an issue. I do like it, but I must say it's not the cheapest place to live in. We went quite over budget on that trip.
Well, that's only because you wanted to go on that overpriced helicopter tour. Otherwise...
That's so not true. Anyway, if we do go there, we'll have to tighten our belts. Also, it's quite far from here. You know how we are with long-haul flights.
You're right. Last time, we were so tired after the flight.
Exactly.
But the flat we'll be staying in is just a stone's throw from the beach, with a fantastic view.
Oh, I like the sound of that. But there is still the flight issue.
Okay, so how about our third option, Montreal?
That sounds really interesting, actually. I heard it's beautiful.
And we'll be living in a fancy high-rise, with a pool and a private gym.
Okay.
What's best about Montreal is all the art galleries, museums and theatres in town.
Terrific! We'd love them!
The winter can be quite intense, though. But we could try out some of the winter activities. It'll be something different for us.
Okay. Do you think we can spend a week or two there to check it out?
Yeah, why not?
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
Hey, Mel, I'm back.
Oh, John, you're here. So, any news about our relocation?
Yes. I've talked to my boss today, and basically, we have three options. Mexico City, Sydney, or Montreal.
Oh, my gosh. That's exciting.
And I've done a bit of maths. The package for Mexico City is really good. My salary would go up by 3% with a yearly bonus of $3,000.
Wow, that's more than good. I do like Mexican culture a lot. And my sister said Mexico City is such a historical place. I've always wanted to go. I just hope language won't be a problem, though. I haven't used Spanish since university and it's a little rusty now.
That's the other thing. The company would give us a free Spanish course for half a year, so I wouldn't worry about it. But the housing.
Why? Is it awful?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's a lovely house with utilities paid for, but it's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, that's fine. We haven't really lived in the country. It'll be a nice change. We can always drive to town.
I'm really not sure. And what about Sydney? When we were there last winter, it was amazing, wasn't it?
And language won't be an issue. I do like it, but I must say it's not the cheapest place to live in. We went quite over budget on that trip.
Well, that's only because you wanted to go on that overpriced helicopter tour. Otherwise...
That's so not true. Anyway, if we do go there, we'll have to tighten our belts. Also, it's quite far from here. You know how we are with long-haul flights.
You're right. Last time we were so tired after the flight.
Exactly.
But the flat we'll be staying in is just a stone's throw from the beach, with a fantastic view.
Oh, I like the sound of that. But there is still the flight issue.
Okay, so how about our third option, Montreal?
That sounds really interesting, actually. I heard it's beautiful.
And we'll be living in a fancy high-rise, with a pool and a private gym.
Okay.
What's best about Montreal is all the art galleries, museums and theatres in town.
Terrific! We'd love them!
The winter can be quite intense, though. But we could try out some of the winter activities. It'll be something different for us.
Okay. Do you think we can spend a week or two there to check it out?
Yeah, why not?
You now have 2 minutes, 30 seconds to finish answering the questions. Text B. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear an interview on a radio program about animal rights.
World news, social issues, thoughtful insights, all brought to you by Jeremy Wong, your host for Coffee Crew, the city's number one radio show. Good morning, everyone. Many of you must have seen a video showing some elephants being badly beaten during their circus training, and it sparked a huge debate on social media about whether animals should be given rights. This morning, we're lucky enough to have animal rights activist Selena Schmidt to shed some light on the topic. Welcome, Selena.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good morning, everyone.
So, tell us, Selena,
What does animal rights actually mean? It wouldn't make sense for us to treat animals as if they were human beings, right?
Well, non-human animals deserve basic rights because they are sentient beings, which means they can feel. That's why it's really unethical to use them for our own pleasure.
Yeah, especially when it causes them pain.
Exactly. Why do you think animals are able to jump through fire, ride a bike, or do other odd tricks that we often see in the circus? Simply because they are constantly made to suffer by their trainers. When you think about it, an animal performing out of fear isn't all that entertaining.
True.
In fact, abuses of animal rights happen everywhere. Selective breeding, for example, is done in literally every country, even here. Also, animal labour, you know, and factory farming. Of course, using animals for entertainment too. The list goes on.
I see. Oh, we've just got a message from one of our online listeners. Let's see. Tom from our website wants to know if animal testing is considered a violation of animal rights.
It depends. In some cases, I personally find it legitimate. But to some people, yes. It is a violation.
You mean like even testing a drug on rats that could possibly save the entire human race?
Yes.
Really? Wow, I can't believe it. I mean, to me, that is totally fine as long as animals don't suffer in the experiments, don't you think so?
A strict animal rights supporter will probably still disagree, while animal welfare supporters will probably find it acceptable, as long as the suffering is minimal.
Then the concept of animal welfare balances the benefits to humans and animals. So, in my opinion, this is the one we should all support.
Well, I wouldn't say that myself, but you are, of course, entitled to that view.
And how about keeping animals in zoos? They have an educational purpose, that must be good.
It's still primarily for entertainment, though, Jeremy. And you know what I think about that.
So, Selena, how can we, the general public, show our concern for animals in everyday life?
Becoming a vegan is a good first step.
Whoa, that sounds more like a big leap forward. I seriously don't think veganism is for everyone.
Well, then at least make sure you avoid products that could involve animal cruelty, such as ivory or fur coats, so that you're not encouraging such practices.
You're right. No demand, then no supply. Anyway, all our listeners out there, if you want to discuss the issue more, go onto our website at mycoffeecrew.com. Thank you for joining us today, Selena.
My pleasure.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
World news, social issues, thoughtful insights, all brought to you by Jeremy Wong, your host for Coffee Crew, the city's number one radio show. Good morning, everyone. Many of you must have seen a video showing some elephants being badly beaten during their circus training. And it sparked a huge debate on social media about whether animals should be given rights. This morning, we're lucky enough to have animal rights activist Selena Schmidt to shed some light on the topic. Welcome, Selena.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good morning, everyone.
So, tell us, Selena, what does animal rights actually mean? It wouldn't make sense for us to treat animals as if they were human beings, right?
Well, non-human animals deserve basic rights because they are sentient beings, which means they can feel. That's why it's really unethical to use them for our own pleasure.
Yeah, especially when it causes them pain.
Exactly. Why do you think animals are able to jump through fire, ride a bike, or do other odd tricks that we often see in the circus? Simply because they are constantly made to suffer by their trainers. When you think about it, an animal performing out of fear isn't all that entertaining.
True.
In fact, abuses of animal rights happen everywhere. Selective breeding, for example, is done in literally every country, even here. Also, animal labour, you know, and factory farming. Of course, using animals for entertainment too. The list goes on.
I see. Oh, we've just got a message from one of our online listeners. Let's see. Tom from our website wants to know if animal testing is considered a violation of animal rights.
It depends. In some cases, I personally find it legitimate. But to some people, yes, it is a violation.
You mean like even testing a drug on rats that could possibly save the entire human race?
Yes.
Really? Wow, I can't believe it. I mean, to me, that is totally fine as long as animals don't suffer in the experiments, don't you think so?
A strict animal rights supporter will probably still disagree, while animal welfare supporters will probably find it acceptable, as long as the suffering is minimal.
Then the concept of animal welfare balances the benefits to humans and animals, so in my opinion, this is the one we should all support.
Well, I wouldn't say that myself, but you are of course entitled to that view.
And how about keeping animals in zoos? They have an educational purpose, that must be good.
It's still primarily for entertainment, though, Jeremy. And you know what I think about that.
So, Selena, how can we, the general public, show our concern for animals in everyday life?
Becoming a vegan is a good first step.
Whoa, that sounds more like a big leap forward. I seriously don't think veganism is for everyone.
Well, then at least make sure you avoid products that could involve animal cruelty, such as ivory or fur coats, so that you're not encouraging such practices.
You're right. No demand, then no supply. Anyway, all our listeners out there, if you want to discuss the issue more, go onto our website at mycoffeecrew.com. Thank you for joining us today, Selena.
My pleasure.
You now have 2 minutes, 30 seconds to finish answering the questions.
Text C. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a podcast on driverless cars.
For over a century, humans and cars have maintained an inseparable relationship. We start the engine, press the gas pedal, and go. But this is all changing thanks to driverless cars. Fully autonomous vehicles won't be ruling the road for a long while yet. But some car makers are already putting most of their resources in developing computerized driving technology. It is set to revolutionize the concept of transportation and the way we live. Right now, you're probably wondering, how does a car drive itself? Typically, driverless cars are equipped with high-power sensors and cameras to obtain an omnidirectional view and to determine their distances from surrounding objects. The software constantly collects and analyzes data to assess road conditions so the car maneuvers accordingly. Many studies predict that they are much safer for the roads, since over 90% of collisions every year are, in one way or another, caused by human errors. But a significant data set is still lacking, and a true and fair comparison has yet to be made. Autonomous driving technology is likely to prompt a radical change in our economy and lifestyle. First, goods will be cheaper for consumers, since a third of the cost comes from transportation expenses. And guess what? It is found that American drivers spend an average of 17 hours per year looking for parking spots. That number even goes up to 85 for those in Los Angeles and 107 in New York City. Driverless cars' ability to park themselves can no doubt save commuters some time. Some automakers have even started to partner with ride-sharing platforms to provide self-driving taxis. With their success among millennials, car ownership may eventually become unnecessary. Residential garages, parking lots, and other public space once dedicated to underutilized vehicles can be freed up for other purposes. Road regulations are pre-programmed, so physical road signs will become redundant. Priorities in city planning will be redefined, and the entire urban landscape completely transformed. All that sounds promising, right? However, are we being too optimistic? It does raise a number of questions. For starters, many who drive for a living will face an employment crisis, while manufacturers and dealers will have to find new solutions for their multi-million-dollar businesses. What's more, with safety at their core, robots are expected to drive more conservatively, slowing down traffic, especially when human drivers are still on the road. Besides, ethical concerns arise. Say one day the technology is robust enough for full autonomy. Will the robot prioritize occupants in an accident even though it may potentially harm more people? Or would you buy a car that will choose to save the public but sacrifice your life when it swerves? Who makes the decision? Policymakers? Programmers? Do we, the very users, even have a say? In any case, whether you like it or not, driverless cars are changing the game. What will happen next? Watch this space. You're listening to Tech Geek, your bi-weekly tech podcast.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
For over a century, humans and cars have maintained an inseparable relationship. We start the engine, press the gas pedal, and go. But this is all changing thanks to driverless cars. Fully autonomous vehicles won't be ruling the road for a long while yet, but some car makers are already putting most of their resources in developing computerized driving technology. It is set to revolutionize the concept of transportation and the way we live. Right now, you're probably wondering, how does a car drive itself? Typically, driverless cars are equipped with high-power sensors and cameras to obtain an omnidirectional view and to determine their distances from surrounding objects. The software constantly collects and analyzes data to assess road conditions so the car maneuvers accordingly. Many studies predict that they are much safer for the roads, since over 90% of collisions every year are, in one way or another, caused by human errors. But a significant data set is still lacking, and a true and fair comparison has yet to be made. Autonomous driving technology is likely to prompt a radical change in our economy and lifestyle. First, goods will be cheaper for consumers, since a third of the cost comes from transportation expenses. And guess what? It is found that American drivers spend an average of 17 hours per year looking for parking spots. That number even goes up to 85 for those in Los Angeles and 107 in New York City. Driverless cars' ability to park themselves can no doubt save commuters some time. Some automakers have even started to partner with ride-sharing platforms to provide self-driving taxis. With their success among millennials, car ownership may eventually become unnecessary. Residential garages, parking lots, and other public space once dedicated to underutilized vehicles can be freed up for other purposes. Road regulations are pre-programmed, so physical road signs will become redundant. Priorities in city planning will be redefined, and the entire urban landscape completely transformed. All that sounds promising, right? However, are we being too optimistic? It does raise a number of questions. For starters, many who drive for a living will face an employment crisis, while manufacturers and dealers will have to find new solutions for their multi-million dollar businesses. What's more, with safety at their core, robots are expected to drive more conservatively, slowing down traffic, especially when human drivers are still on the road. Besides, ethical concerns arise. Say one day the technology is robust enough for full autonomy. Will the robot prioritize occupants in an accident even though it may potentially harm more people? Or would you buy a car that will choose to save the public but sacrifice your life when it swerves? Who makes the decision? Policymakers? Programmers? Do we, the very users, even have a say? In any case, whether you like it or not, driverless cars are changing the game. What will happen next? Watch this space. You're listening to Tech Geek, your bi-weekly tech podcast.
You now have the rest of the time to finish answering the questions.